Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
So before we hop into the interview, I want to talk to you all about something really exciting with CobaBoard. CobaBoard is the tool that Jen and I have talked about and use in our home when we want to get a resistance workout in, but we don't want to deal with all the heavy equipment or weights or machinery. We initially fell in love with this board because it helps you get into deadlifts and really activate those glutes in such an incredible way. Now Coba has come out with the CobaBoard Plus. It's added an extra resistance band, extra handles, and allows you so many more options to get upper body exercises in as well. So go down to the link in the show notes. You can use code OPTIMAL to get 10% off your CobaBoard Plus. They also have a free app that you can go to and download to see all sorts of exercises and how you can use this board to really get in the most optimal workout for you. Check the link in the show notes. Make sure you use code OPTIMAL at checkout and get 10% off.
Now, we have done a podcast episode on, you know, the difference between muscle soreness and pain that I might feel when I'm working out. So go back and listen to that episode if you missed it, because we really go over the tools and tips that you can do as well to kind of reduce that soreness. But that really, those tools and tips actually play a role into what we're talking about today. Definitely. Because with overtraining, a lot of times we lose that recovery aspect.
Yeah, because progressive overload is something that a lot of people will be familiar with, especially if you're in the exercise science world or if you've exercised in general. You may have heard like, hey, we need to have progressive overload, meaning we need to do slightly more than before, challenge our system, challenge the muscles and tendons, nervous system, all the tissues, to then grow after that session. And once they grow and recover, we might be able to do slightly more. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's necessary in order to progress our training, to get better at a skill, to get better at any sort of physical task. But of course, we can take that too far.
Exactly. And that's when it becomes the issue of overtraining, when we're taking that overload so far without the adequate recovery it requires in order to actually heal and continue to grow and continue to progress. And so then we look at, okay, what is functional overreaching? And that's when we can see that, you know, after about 2 weeks, we see this decrease in performance, and then it's followed by we overcompensate by trying to really up the ante in our performance all of a sudden.
Yeah. And this is an interesting period, because we're on our way to this overtraining, full-blown like overtraining syndrome, and maybe putting ourselves at more risk of injury, but our body's like, okay, we need to be able to recover. So we might be training slightly past our threshold for our normal progressive overload, but our body's like, I'm still going to try to compensate. And you may notice these performance gains, which is kind of tricky, because if you're noticing that for 2 weeks, like, hey, I'm performing better.
Yeah.
I'm still feeling pretty good. It's going to be tough to stop that trend. But then when we get into, you know, 3 to 4 weeks, then we get into this non-functional overtraining where we notice, okay, now I'm not recovering. I'm seeing more of a decline in my performance, and I'm not quite recovering enough. So it's this fine line between, like, for 2 weeks, you might actually notice a gain in performance. This kind of reminds me of, sometimes I'll make goals to say, like, this last month, my goal is to do 100 pushups, 100 squats, 50 dips, 50 knee raises, and 25 pull-ups every day of the month. And it feels great for a few weeks. And then I hit week 3 and 4, and then it's suddenly just like, ooh, I'm getting all these different aches and pains in my shoulders, and like the dips, I'm noticing, it might be a little too extreme for my shoulders. So maybe I put myself into a place where for the first 2 weeks, it feels great. My body's compensating just fine. And then I hit week 3 and 4, and then it's just like, sorry, man, we've hit our max capacity, and we're not going to do this for you anymore.
Yeah, and you start decreasing that performance no matter what you're trying to do.
Yeah, every morning when I wake up, it's like, man, this was easy the past 2 weeks, and now it's getting tougher and tougher every day.
Yeah, which is the complete opposite of what should be happening if you're actually progressing in a way that, you know, your body is getting used to. Over time, you're going to see that, oh, it's actually easier. I can do a little bit more weight. This is becoming more natural, rather than, you know, where you probably all of a sudden just read out the gate, all these high numbers didn't allow your body to really progress into that, didn't give your system any progression at all. It was just like, here we are, this is what we're going to do.
I should have maybe given a rest day between or started out with half of those numbers.
Exactly.
Which is funny because now the month after doing that as kind of my like morning routine, and sometimes I'll miss a day. But mm-hmm. I feel like it's great for me because yeah. I'll maybe be doing every 2 out of 3 days where my body's like grateful for that extra day of rest from maybe those dips and yeah. the push-ups, which was getting to be a little too much on my shoulders.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. But, you know, bottom line is when we get into this area of overtraining syndrome, so many different things can happen in our body. It can yeah. almost affect every system of the body. Like, yes, you'll start noticing lower muscular output. You'll start noticing that your physical output is going down, but that's for a multitude of different reasons. Like, we can see different hormonal imbalances. Mm-hmm. Our body's going to be having a lot more of the inflammatory type hormones. And we're not going to be recovering nearly as much because of that.
And that's why a lot of people will tend to look at athletes, right, in terms of overtraining. But we can't just look at athletes. Like, everyday person might be overtraining because already our body is usually running at a higher stress level, especially if we're, you know, really focused on work and trying to get a lot done there. And then we come home and we're trying to get a lot done there. And then we're going to work out and we're going to CrossFit every single day, or we're doing things that really overstress our body over time. Or we set these really intense goals of like, I want to be at a certain weight. So we cut calories a lot. And when you're cutting calories and not supporting the fuel that you need for all of this training, all this stress, all this work that you're putting on your body, well, then all of a sudden we can start to get into this overtraining syndrome again. And that's where we have known friends in the past who have lost their period. So talk about hormonal imbalance. That's like a clear cut one, right? The moment you start to lose your period, your hormones are out of whack, especially as a woman. So all of a sudden you might be noticing, you know, that you're taking in these fewer calories. It's affecting your body. You might be ideally getting to this weight that you think you're at, but you might actually be losing performance. You might actually be losing strength, maybe even putting on some body fat.
Yeah, that's because of a lot of these hormonal issues. Like, we can notice any degree of sleep disturbances.
Yeah.
Our mood, you can become irritable, angry, anything like that. You'll have just like odd midday crashes because you won't quite have energy. Having a high level of cortisol in the body can promote storage of body fat. Mm-hmm. So sometimes our body might start actually taking energy from different places like our muscle tissue and then storing excess energy at the end of the day as fat. It can affect our immune system. We can have blunted immune responses, especially because of heightened levels of inflammation that are just sticking and floating around the body. I know our serotonin response, so literally our ability to feel happy, that happy chemical starts to get blunted a little bit too.
Yeah. So you'll become a person that no one wants to start to be around, you know, triggered by any little thing, starting to get angry, starting to get responsive in that way. And you really increase your risk of injury. I mean, that's the number one thing. You're not giving your body any rest recovery. You're already disrupting your sleep. You know, your sleep might be disrupted, which is a part of recovery. So if you can't sleep well, you're not recovering very well. And then you're not adding in extra recovery practices because you're trying to overtrain and trying to just get to the goal of whatever you think that is.
Yeah. And I think that one difficult thing is that people who aren't doing this for like a living, you know, if exercise and physical performance isn't your job, all the stuff that we just listed off is really tough to track.
Right.
You know, to be conscious of tracking, even sleep. Like, yes, you can kind of get an idea of when you go to bed and when you wake up every day, but you don't know the quality of that sleep necessarily. Yes, we can wake up and be like, oh, I feel like I slept great, or I feel like I slept like crap. Mm-hmm. But those are the things that might be, you know, it might start to be important to pay attention to those little by little. One thing that I really like to talk about too is I did some research back when I was in athletics on the acute to chronic workload ratio, mm-hmm. or when I was working on how do athletes progress and how do we know if we're training too much? Mm-hmm. And there's this thing that there's been quite a few research studies done on it called the acute chronic workload ratio, where how much have I been doing over a month? What's the average amount of work I've been doing over a month, right? What's that number? I've been working on a scale of 1 to 10. I've been doing 5 for the past month consistently. If all of a sudden I jump up to 8 in the next week, that's too high. You have to be within 80 to 130% of what your monthly average is. So if all of a sudden in 1 week we're running 10 miles and we jump up to 13 or more, that's greater than 130%. So you might be putting yourself at risk of injury. Mm-hmm. And there's actually really cool research that shows like if you're above 130% or below 80%, you might be putting yourself at risk of higher injury.
I mean, it's so important to just start to note. So even if you're just starting to write things down, starting to track things, getting a journal, maybe you are starting to lift more, maybe you're starting to run more, and understanding, you know, because 1 week you might feel really good and like, oh, I can go for a while, but you're pushing your body in a place that's not necessary. And we always have to look back at like, what is the intention? Is the intention to just go based on what I'm feeling for the day? Or is it really to work toward bettering my health over time? And if that's really what we're trying to do when we're trying to work out and take care of our bodies, well, then we actually have to be paying attention a little bit more to how we're taking care of our bodies.
Yeah, no, I think that that's great. Keeping any sort of journal, and especially if it's for the running example, if it's, okay, I ran this amount of distance today, it took this much time, and it felt this hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like that number, if you just keep a track of 1 to 10, it felt this hard, that can kind of indirectly keep track of a lot of things. Like, how have I recovered? You know, what was my sleep and recovery like? Because if I ran this same distance on 2 different days and it felt really hard one day versus really easy another day, mm-hmm. especially if you run like the same route, then you can start to think back and try to associate, oh, maybe I ate this, or maybe I didn't eat enough. Maybe I didn't sleep well enough. And you can start to think back based on the timeline, why may have this run been so much harder, even though it was the same distance, same route and everything.
Mm-hmm. So that's where establishing your baseline, becoming aware of what your body's natural patterns are, and understanding, you know, where you're working out and putting those workouts in, and where you're actually adding in the recovery. And that is the number one thing that gets looked over all the time, and why people join things like the mobility challenges that we do, because they want that extra accountability to actually doing the mobility. That is, again, the number one thing that just gets crossed off, because it's like, well, I only have, you know, this little hour break to be able to get my workout in, which includes going to the gym, getting everything ready, going and working out, and then coming back. So it's like, we're not prioritizing recovery enough.
And I think any sort of tracking, I mean, we kind of mentioned tracking your activity, but there's so many studies that show if you do any sort of tracking, it's going to have positive outcomes on the overall behavior change,
because
you're doing it so much more consciously, and other areas. So even if it seems like overwhelming to say, okay, I'm going to track my calories, my sleep, how much I'm doing, I'm going to check out my heart rate variability, which we didn't even mention, heart rate variability and how overtraining affects our heart recovery. Massive. And heart rate variability is another big key marker that different devices use to help understand how someone's recovering. But tracking all that can be overwhelming. So let's start with sleep. I'm going to wake up in the morning, write down how many hours I feel like I slept, and how do I feel about it? Did I feel like that sleep was a 10 out of 10 or a 2 out of 10? And even if you just start tracking that one thing, it's going to trickle into other areas.
Yeah. And so that's why we actually, this is not a promotion, but we have been wearing the Oura Ring. Well, you're not right now.
I don't have mine on. Mine's charging. I failed.
You did. Come on. For the Overtraining Podcast. No. But we have been wearing this, and this I think is actually really cool. Not only is it tracking things like heart rate variability, it's automatically tracking your sleep, but it's also, you know, kind of looking at body temperature. So for a woman, especially who's going through hormonal changes every single month, it's really cool to be able to see where your body's at and how that might be affected based on your cycle and your heart rate and all that kind of stuff, your recovery. I wouldn't say it's to go based off solely like, when should I work out? When should I recover based on this app, right? But it will bring you into that awareness. Like, hey, your heart rate's not coming back. It's not really stabilizing after you work out, or it's staying really high, or we're not getting that natural variability and that ability for that heart rate to come back down to a good resting level. And so being able to see that, being able to see your sleep over time, being able to see how that's changing in your recovery of what it says, you know, it all plays a role. And so it has been really cool to just use that just as an extra accountability to see how my body's doing.
Yeah, I think that the information's always great. I will admit that I tend to not use these devices as much. Or clearly I'm not wearing it. Or even look at the information when I have it. I don't know. I feel like I've done a lot of these experiments on myself before with sleep, with eating, recovery, all sorts of stuff. And so I like to more so listen to how my body feels.
Mm-hmm.
After a night's sleep, I kind of know when I wake up, hey man, that was kind of a crappy night's sleep. Maybe don't go all out with your workout. Or if you do go all out, we need to make sure that we recover tonight. And I more so like to try and have that interoception or that intuitive body feel on what I need. However, when I do wear the Oura Ring for a week straight and then look at the data, I love using it as kind of like a check off, like, oh, wow, like it said I really recovered well that day. I don't feel like I felt the same. Like, I wonder what may have been going on there. So I always think that these bio devices or things that give you that feedback on what your physiology is doing are amazing tools to help you understand a little bit more what's going on inside and how you feel outside.
Yeah. So if you are having those decreases and feel like you're not progressing in your workouts, you feel like they're actually regressing and maybe you're gaining the body fat that you're trying to push off, we need to be thinking of adding these recovery techniques back in. And you might notice all of a sudden you're going to see much more progression, much more ability to up the weight in your strength training or to up the running because you're actually taking time away from training and you're sleeping better. You're getting good nutrients. You're not just, you know, some people are, they get into crazy trends sometimes, right? So it's like, I'm only going to, you know, do fasted cardio, or I'm only going to do where it's sometimes you got to play with it. You have to see what works better for your body. And there's no one size fits all. And making sure that you're fueling your body for your workouts is so incredibly important.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, you even said, what time are we going to take away from training? Or if you feel like, again, if it's a sport or something that you need to, quote, need to be doing, yeah. Like, okay, then how do we create more time for the recovery?
Yeah.
And as soon as you start,
where are you putting that in?
Any changes in your sleep, food, recovery time, like breath work, stress reduction techniques, like journaling or breath work or anything like that, make a massive difference.
Thanks so much for joining us on another episode. And of course, if you need help with understanding how to add this mobility back into your routine so that you can help your body in recovery, check out Gen Health. We have plans from full body plans to full body mobility, if that's just where you want to focus, to any other pain problem that you may have. So we'll have that linked up, or you could just type in gen.health. And of course, please subscribe, leave us a rate and review, especially if you like coming back and listening to all that we have to share here.